Yeah, it's like, what you said to my wife, father, so, from the Sensi model.
Good evening, it is 6:02 p.m. on Tuesday, June the 16th. This is the regular board meeting of the CAMU-TO Independent School District Board of Trustees. Sonia, would you please call roll?
Yes, Ms. Fritzi.
Here.
Mrs. Gonzalez.
Here.
Mr. Medina.
Present.
Mrs. Quintana.
Here.
Mr. Rodriguez.
Mr. Rodriguez will not be with us this evening. He's in Las Vegas.
Mrs. Searles.
Here.
And Mrs. Iglesias.
Here.
Item C, Pledge of Allegiance.
Everybody?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. On the Texas flag, I pledge allegiance to thee, Texas, one state, under God, one and indivisible.
Thank you very much.
Item E, CISD mission and vision statements.
And Ms. Quintana, would you like to read the mission statement? And how about Ms. Gonzalez, you want to read the vision?
CAMU-TO Independent School District vision statement. CAMU-TO ISD is a premier school district with nationally ranked multi-literate graduates ready to excel in college, their careers, their community, and in life.
Thank you very much. Ms. Gonzalez.
Mission statement. CAMU-TO ISD's purpose is to provide high-quality educational experiences that will inspire and prepare all students to apply the knowledge and skills necessary to become effective leaders and productive citizens.
I'm pretty sure we're about to hear from some of them.
Item two, board honors. Mr. Gray.
Good afternoon, Board President Searles, our trustees, and Dr. Galavis. Could you please join us up here at the front of the dais so we can recognize some very important and distinguished people here at CAMU-TO School District. And as you're making your way forward, I'd like to start by thanking Ms. Maria Elena Torres. She's a teacher of advanced academics at Bill Childress and Jose Damian for the beautiful display of artwork. You notice over here in the corner. This month, we're displaying pieces from our second grade students who worked on a unit on famous artists where they prepared a research paper and presentation followed by their own interpretation of the master artist's work, including pieces from Van Gogh, Da Vinci, Picasso, and Ringgold. This is truly an immersive learning experience for them, and the artwork will be graciously on loan to us at the central office for this summer. So if you have a chance, go ahead and check out the great master's interpretations. So regarding the our valedictorians and salutatorians, this is quite an honor in the folks that are going to be coming here in front of you really have put a lot of hard work and effort over the past 4 years. During their careers at both CAMU-TO High School and Northwest Early College High School. So with that, I also want to preface that besides the beautiful awards that we're going to present to them, each student will receive a brand new iPad courtesy of Plan B and Mr. Juan Mades. Mr. Mades, unfortunately, couldn't join us this evening, but we have prepared a special certificate for him as well, and in recognition of his many years of service and support for our students, he is truly a partner in education.
Thank you.
Very good. Thank you, Dr. Galavis and Mr. Ramirez. Okay. We're going to start with our salutatorian of Canisteo High School. For those of you who went to the graduation ceremony, you might remember Mr. Bo Brooks. Yes, we got words from the audience and for the record regarding Mr. Brooks. As salutatorian, he has completed his high school career with an impressive 99.95 grade point average. He will be attending Missouri University of Science and Technology, where he was awarded the Missouri S&T Excellence Scholarship, totaling more than $13,000. He was also an instrumental part of the Canisteo High School football team, where he netted 116 solo tackles and helped the Eagles advance to the state semifinals last fall. Please congratulate again our CHS salutatorian, Bo Brooks. Congratulations to you too, man. A testament of a fine mother.
All right. One, two, three. One, two, three.
Thank you. Congratulations. Good luck to you, Bo. We are very proud. You make us all of us Eagles very proud for all of your hard work and accomplishments. Good luck to you. Now, I understand our valedictorian may not be here with us this evening, unfortunately. But let me just, for the record, talk a little bit about her. Jasmine Flores is our CHS valedictorian. She has taken some of the most rigorous courses offered at Canisteo High and completed these courses with a very impressive 100.56 grade point average. Jasmine will be attending UTEP to pursue a degree in civil engineering, where she was also awarded the UTEP Excellence Scholarship totaling $16,000. So again, congratulations to our CHS valedictorian, Jasmine Delia. Get right to her hands. It's now my pleasure to introduce our Northwest Early College High School salutatorian. Miss Quinisi Sin has completed her high school career with an Associate of Science and earned 78 college credits. She plans to attend UT Austin and major in pre-pharmacy. She was very active at Northwest, together with the choir, gains in education of mathematics and science, mock trial, National Technical Honor Society. She was a participant in the Medical Field Forum at UCLA, Science Bowl, the UIL Number, Sense, and Science, the Yearbook, and has over 80 community service hours. Please, let's congratulate our Northwest Salutatorian, Quinisi Sin. Galindo. Ms. Galindo has completed her high school career with an Associate of Science and earned 78 college credits as well. She's going to attend UTEP this fall to major in biology. Likewise, she was very active at Northwest through the following programs, committees, events, and organizations, including the International Scholar Laureate Program, the National Academy of Future Physicians and Medical Scientists, National History Day, National Hispanic Scholar, National Hispanic Recognition Program, National Society of High School Scholars, National Technical Honor Society, No Place for Hate, Outstanding Academic Performance in Physical Education, Phi Theta Kappa, Senior Class Student Council Parliamentarian, and UIL Spelling and Vocabulary. Boy, I'm going to need a drink of water after that list. Ms. Galindo, congratulations. You do us all proud. Good luck to you. Item 2B, which is recognition of district level teachers of the year and auxiliary employee of the year. We're going to start with our auxiliary employee of the year. Please put your hands together for Miss Rosalinda Lujan. Lujan is the administrative assistant for our curriculum and instruction department. She had many years here at CISD, but it's really her attention to detail, knowledge of all things budget, organizational skills, and I think above all, her very pleasant demeanor and commitment to customer service. That really puts her above the rest. She's always the most friendly, most helpful, most reliable. I mean, anything you need, Ms. Lujan can do. She can resolve any issues. She's a true asset to everybody here at CISD. And so for that, congratulations, Matt.
One, two, three.
Well done. Okay. Now we're going to proceed on to our 2016 Elementary Teacher of the Year. This district recognition goes to Rocio Rodriguez, our JDE music teacher.
Thank you.
I've got a lot of words for her as well, if you bear with me.
Thank you, Ro.
Not only is she so pleasant, but she has an unorthodox teaching style. It really engages all of her students where when they enter her classroom, they start running around and singing their scales and knowing each other on a much deeper, more personal basis. And so they really connect with each other and they form very strong bonds at the elementary school. And because of her artistic, her artistic abilities, she's able to not only teach them, but draw out, you know, the kids' true voices. And so a couple of years ago, they earned a gold award at the World Heritage Music Festival in Anaheim, California for the very first time. And those same students are now part of that group with the AMS and CMS combined choir that earned yet another gold medal at the Anaheim World Heritage Music Festival a couple months ago. So it's really thanks to Ms. Rodriguez for passion, you know, that she brings out the best of her students and, you know, really is a true colleague supporting her fellow teachers across the school. So you do us proud and, yes, ma'am.
I believe that also your students have now got the ability to go to Carnegie Hall. Am I correct?
Yes.
That there is an incredible opportunity that you have been a really integral part of availing our children to something that just makes me want to cry. It's so phenomenal. Thank you.
Thank you.
Oh, yeah. Damn.
Yeah. thank you for all that you do, and good luck as you proceed to the statewide competition.
One, two, three.
Thank you so much. Center that frame.
Tell him to move.
Tell him to move.
And we have one more award. Unfortunately, our district secondary teacher of the year couldn't join us tonight, but this award goes to Heidi McConnell, our 2016 secondary teacher of the year. She's an English teacher at Northwest Early College High School. Perhaps receiving the award on her behalf would be Ms. Tracy Speaker, our principal in the school. But as she's proceeding down the aisle here to receive that, I'll say a few words about Ms. McConnell. Ms. McConnell, she actually retired at one point from another school system. And as we were opening up Northwest High School, we were able to recruit her back. And she is so dedicated. Correct me if I'm wrong, Ms. Speaker, but isn't she involved in absolutely everything having to do with the campus?
Except custodial work.
She is involved in every single activity and is always there supporting the administration of the school, but most importantly, the students. Mm-hmm. And so they are really excelling, every single one of them that go into her English classes. And really, for the committee that selected the Secondary Teacher of the Year, it was her passion and commitment to excellence. They were just simply unmatched. It really set her apart from everybody else. And so, we're very happy for Ms. McConnell. We're very fortunate to have her. And we too wish her luck as she proceeds to the statewide competition. So thank you very much for receiving the award on her behalf.
Of course.
And of course, board members, this concludes this month's recognitions. Thank you very much for coming on the call.
Tell you more about the festival at Carnegie Hall. As part of the festival, the World Strike Heritage Festivals, they for all ensembles who get a gold award, they have the opportunity to perform at Carnegie Hall, and that's a great opportunity because it's the best musical venue in the nation and in the world as well. So these students have the opportunity to perform with other ensembles around the nation and being exposed to this opportunity. So the festival consists of having all the gold awards, all ensembles who got a gold award, but they have to raise the money because there's a cost for it. They have to go and provide they provide everything. They provide a lodging, transportation, air transportation, of course, and per diem meals, everything. But the ensemble is responsible to raise the money for the festival.
What is the cost?
To be honest, I need to get information. I got it 2 years ago when I got gold as part of the with the Jose Damian Choir. We decided not to travel, but when I remember,
yes, ma'am.
Is it 60,000? It depends on the ensemble. Amount of students. It depends on the size of the ensemble. So, because there's a cost per student. So, to be honest, it's about $50,000,
$60,000.
Okay.
And
what
is the date?
I will need to ask Ms. Martinez, the choir director at Canutillo Middle School, and I need to ask her the specific date for it. It's around April, May, March or April, but I don't think it's gonna be in May. I know for sure that it's in springtime.
Okay.
So, but I don't know if it's around star test, because there was a conflict there. I know they provide different dates, but I think it's around May or April. But
it'll be in this new year.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. Uh-huh.
Are there any other questions?
Thank you for your service.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Item 3, open forum. Madam President, we have one speaker, and her name is Ms. Seaver.
Thank you very much.
Ms. Searles, Madam President, I want to treat trustees. I want to take the moment to thank you for the opportunity to work at your district, which is now my new home. My name is Maria Elba Silva, but I'm very commonly known as Noni. So if you hear Noni, that's me. I wanted to let you know that all my life as an English language learner myself, as a teacher, as an administrator, has been to improve and work with bilingual teachers, students, and administrators. And the only way to help them succeed is to always have high standards for them. And because of this, I have high standards for myself and those that work around me. So just know that my goal is to not only help, you know, make sure the program is in compliance, but to work with the teachers and the principals at the campuses. I envision myself working hands-on at the campuses. That's what I love to do. That's my expertise. So I just want you and the teachers that will be working with me that I'm here to serve you. Thank you.
Thank you.
Item number 4, Board of Trustee Business, a overview of Policy Instruction Personnel Student Services Committee meeting of June 3rd, 2015. Mrs. Concernis.
Good evening. We had a Instruction Personnel Policy Student Services Committee meeting on June the 3rd. And during that meeting, we discussed one of the agenda items was the Early College High School End of Year Report. And during that presentation, it was they discussed the senior class to include the ACT performance, college readiness, goals, projected graduate scholarship, data, FAFSA completion, etc. And that item was just informational purposes only. The other agenda item was the Canutillo High School End of Year Report. And it was basically the same information presented to us by Ms. Clark Saddle. And we requested the committee members and some board members requested more information that will be presented to us, that is going to be presented to us in a Thursday weekly notes. And some of it also at the next committee meeting. The other one is the Valeracy Pilot Program. Ms. Julie Melendez, along with Ms. Rocha, presented this item to the committee, and they talked about the dual language program and what is going on at the elementary campuses. And particular item is going to be discussed. It's going to be brought up along with the new ALS director, which we just heard right now from. And we will be hearing from her opinions and suggestions at a later date. So this item was also for informational purposes only. Another item was a dual credit textbook funding. This item was pulled from by administration for future discussion due to funding. Next agenda item was the spring 2015 STAR 3-8, grades 3-8 and of course preliminary test results. And the committee expressed their disappointment in the preliminary test results. And this item was also was for informational purposes only. The other agenda item was purchase of entry for your wear, the amount of $20,450. This item has been presented tonight for approval, possible approval. The other one is a renewal of ice station in the amount of $56,150. It's also being presented tonight for possible approval. Request to purchase Renaissance Learning, the amount of $54,685.10. Was recommended tonight for possible board approval. The other one is regarding the central office time accounting report presented by Mr. Hector Rodriguez, the auditor. And Mr. Rodriguez, in this particular report, some recommendations were made to Mr. Rodriguez. The other one is a human resources vacancy report was presented by Ms. Marta Carrasco. And this item was just informational purposes only. And that's it. Any questions? Ms. Searles.
I do have a question. Dr. Galabis, have we had the principal interview for Bill Childress yet?
Oh, man, that will be Monday.
And have the parents and employees been included in
yes,
the in the interview
yes,
committee?
They had a roundtable to give input on the type of principal characteristics that they're looking for.
And was it well attended? Well,
yes, ma'am.
Okay.
We do a report.
That would be wonderful. Okay. Thank you, Dr. Galavis. That was all. Ms. Gonzalez.
Thank you. The overview of Finance Audit Facilities Planning Committee meeting of June 8, 2015. Mr. Medina.
Thank you. Meeting for the Finance Audit Facilities Planning Committee on June 9th began at 8:22 after very good special board meeting. We started off with discussion and recommendation regarding future district developments. We had a couple of guests, Mr. Winton, as well as another gentleman, I forget his last name. They were part of the UV 120 in regards to the zoning, Plan El Paso, and future positions that we take. We're going to bring that back at the next committee meeting with some input from Mr. Leone, as well as hopefully from the developers themselves. We then moved on to bond construction. CBAC was not available, so there was no input by CBAC. I don't believe they actually met as well. We also had a bond update that was put into our regular agenda, our regular update on weeklies, as well as our construction and programming schedules update. We did discuss some of the vendors. Then moved on to contingency. One of the issues was, of course, the raised traffic control. The city of El Paso is asking for $94,000 to put striping and all the signage for Reyes Elementary. We did recommend the items for board trustees to consideration. We also talked about master plan funding option and asked about $398,000. We would bring that back to ask for it to be pulled from bond instead of from general funds. We then moved on to our general account, GASB 54 review. We recommended that item for consideration tonight, as well as we looked at our officer designation, training sources and investment sources, which we designated Ms. Zuniga and Ms. Karski, as well as, I don't know who else. I think there's a third person there. It's not in the minutes. Discussion and recommendation regarding the grant submission for SCO Metal regarding the instructional technology, integrating technology into the science and math curriculum program. We recommended that for consideration tonight. We also discussed the CATCH program. We did recommend that for consideration tonight, as as well as the El Paso Del Norte Health Foundation for funding the IGNITE program. We did recommend that as well. We then moved on to audit. Found that there was some savings, $334,000 under two different projects, essentially paid for himself, as well as above and beyond for his department. We then moved on to facilities and transportation. Said that the cost of the, Mr. Padilla has indicated the cost of installing video and audio recording and online streaming cost in the realm of $8,225. That would be bought back, I believe, in July. A little bit more detail as to what we needed. We also were waiting for our legislative session in San Antonio to see what state requirements there were. And we adjourned the meeting at 9:35 p.m. Any questions?
I do have a question.
Yes, ma'am.
And I don't know if the first questions, Mr. Blanco, could you help me with this? I'm looking at 2A under planning from the committee business, and the committee wants to discuss this again, and I think wants to continue to discussing it.
Yes.
Keep discussing it. And I was wondering if it would be appropriate if the board could direct the administration to meet with the developer so that we could begin, possibly have Mr. Padilla and Mr. Leon meet with the developer so that we could begin that conversation with them, that we can have something more to work with than just, you know, just concepts, that they could go narrow it down a little bit more for us.
Sure.
Is that fine? And do I need to move to make a motion to do so?
You don't have to, but you can if you want to. The administration can maybe do that.
Would that be fine with the board?
I think what we wanted to do is get the information on the plan for El Paso, the final plan, and this was from the meeting itself. Not only get the plan for El Paso, also any changes that have happened since then, and any developments. I know Mr. Leone was going to provide us with a map of updated changes to our area and what's in our district. So we're waiting for that before we start to formally engage developers, because I know there's a lot of stuff in play. So I don't know if there's something that we can direct them now, but they're still in the collection process, and we did direct them at the last meeting.
I'm just, you know, trying to think ahead that we wouldn't be on the backside if they had the time that we could give them the direction that this would be. Communication is always best.
Mr. Leone?
No, but Mr. Padilla is here. Mr. Padilla, do you think?
Well, I guess, Madam Chair.
Oh, there he is, right there.
Do you have a question, Madam Chair?
Yes.
For Mr. Leone.
Yes.
Thank you. In regards to the developments, the UB120, is there any timelines that they're going to be presenting to the CPC that we need to be appraised of?
I think they said within the next 2 to 3 months they'd be going for their rezoning.
Okay, so is it anything that in the next month or so that we need to fast track any sort of engagement with the developers in order to, you know, get a seat at the table, essentially?
Well, we already have a seat at the table with them in regard to the rezoning.
Mm-hmm.
It's really the stance that the board would like to take on it.
Okay.
And like I mentioned in the committee meeting, I'll have a full report on upcoming development, including the UB120 meeting. Okay. For the July board meeting and for the July committee meetings to run through, so that if there are any concerns with particular development, the board as a whole can take a stance on.
Are we in danger of missing anything if we just wait a month?
No.
Are we okay?
No, it's not going to come any time before then.
Okay.
So,
if the board has any concerns, you know, I'm still in contact with the developers. I can always pass along your concerns to them. Prior to the coming committee and board meetings.
And I think more than anything, the open space issues that the gentleman brought up, as well as the plan for El Paso guidelines that were put out, I think that's what we want to gather. So for your presentation in July, we'd like to have that.
Okay.
Other than that, I don't think I have any other questions.
I guess where my mind is going is, would it behoove us to, when we see, I mean, it's not up to us to rewrite the plan for El Paso, it's there. And that we see how they are incorporating that into their zoning change so that we stay on the forward side of it and not on the back side of it. And that's
Well, just based on the plans that they showed, mm-hmm. you know, the open space they have is in the interior of the development and not in the surrounding parcels, which is what Plan El Paso calls for. For a dense development within the land parcel and the surrounding areas to be open space. But, excuse me, I just thought some minutes. You know, also Plan El Paso does call for development in this area. A density of 2.5, which is what we've been pursuing, it does kind of note that calling for that type of density really has a detrimental effect in the open space preservation because it eats up a lot of land without leaving it open to the public. So if we're to consider some of these things when we talk about preserving open space, we might want to change that density requirement that we're asking for.
And I think it equals a person amount, not a design application. The 2.5 equals how many homes per acre you would ultimately like. Could you put them all over in this corner?
Yeah.
And have just a few. It equals an amount of people.
And I think with a development like this, with so much.
And we don't need to talk to you about all this now because we can take it to the committee as planned. I didn't mean for this to go so long. I just wanted to know.
Yeah, we're
are we ahead of it? We ahead
yeah,
of it?
And then
yeah,
if,
we're not on under
if you feel the need, if Mr. Padilla feels the need to speak to these people, that it's okay that you know that the board is fine with them conversing with them and dealing with it in the you know in the time between now and when we meet the next.
I'd be okay if we if you want to pass a motion to direct them. If you're okay with that,
yeah.
You feel comfortable, I have no problem with that.
Yep, you know, any more contact we have with them, the better. That way they know our position.
Could you keep us appraised with any communications in the weekly packet as to your ongoing conversation specific to not just UB120, but this overall development position that we're going to talk about?
Yes, sir. Any development issues that come up, I include in my weekly packet, plus the comprehensive development report that I'm putting together for the next committee meeting.
So then I would move to...
They're just going to continue to bring the information back to you.
Okay. And with the ability to meet with them if they need to. Okay. Thank you very much, sir. That was part of your job, why we got your job in the beginning. We didn't want to be on the menu. We wanted to be at the table.
Yeah. And, you know, I think Mr. Nestor was surprised after the last conversation. But we've met with Mr. Winton several times, and he knows our position on some of these things. And there's a lot of information that he shared with us because we made that outreach to him. So.
And I have one other question, Mr. Medina. Mr. Medina, we had talked about the traffic control and the El Paso proposal there with the city, and we asked if the impact fees were part of that $94,239, and if they were, could they go away?
Yes, ma'am. I did verify whether or not impact fees were part of the proposal submitted by City of El Paso, and it was not. They were not included within that proposal.
Thank you very
You're
much.
Sure.
I appreciate it. That's all, Mr. Medina. Thank you.
Item number 5, public hearing regarding adoption of the 2015-2016 Budget A. Budget hearing regarding the proposed 2015-16 annual budget and discussion of possible tax rates. A public hearing on the tax rate along with consideration and adoption of the tax rate will take place at a later meeting. The public is invited to attend and provide public comment. Ms. Sikorski and Ms. Zuniga.
Madam Chair.
Yes, sir.
I do have a concern on the materials that were handed out, even though the agenda item says regarding budget adoption, regarding adoption of the 2015-2016 budget, our information says adoption of 2015-2016 tax rate. This is not that meeting.
No, this is definitely.
So I don't know why our materials are
so. I'm sorry, what are you looking at?
Page 15 is the public hearing and adoption of 2015-2016 tax rate.
Fine.
You see it?
Page 15.
The cover sheet.
Yes.
Yeah. We are not that. Moving on. Tax rate today.
Oh, no, that's August.
It says it's going to be in August.
Okay.
Yeah, a little confusing.
Give me a heart attack.
Okay.
Yes. That is just to tell you that is the date, August 25th.
Okay.
It's the date that we have to set the tax rate.
That's one of the questions.
Thank you. Okay, I'm sorry, were there, would you like me to go through the slides?
Yes.
Okay. We've already looked at page 2. The tax rate will be coming up in August once we have the certified rolls. On page slide 3, the property tax rates at $1.17 for the M&O and interest and sinking is at 36 cents. The preliminary property values used to set this budget are $1,886,000. We will be looking at this again in July when we receive the certified values. Based on that, the revenues generated for the M&O, $20 million, and for the INS will be the $6 million. The next slide, slide 4, shows the historical, the ADA. And this year we are projecting 5,882, which includes 70 students which were identified during the enrollment, early registration that we had in May.
A question on that slide, I guess, more so for Dr. Valdez. On the enrollment for the refined ADA, why is that so much lower than the summer and the PM small snapshot? Refined ADA.
It's set at 93%. Based on average. Currently we're at 95% or so, but some of those students don't generate any revenue.
Okay.
So we've estimated a conservative 93%.
Okay, so that's the 54?
Yes.
So it looks like we are at more or less this, our student population went up and now it's gone down. We're back to the numbers of 2009 and 2010 essentially.
Yes, ma'am.
So that is a definite decrease in the money that we receive.
Yes, ma'am. Okay, the next page shows the 2015, our revised estimates of what we feel that the revenues will become. Also, next to that is the proposed 2016, based on additional information that has been received. The increase in the students, as well as the increase in the property tax values. The federal sources is basically the food service. Slide 6 has the budget.
I do have one question on that slide. We've got our tax collection rate at 94.5%. That's quite low.
That is the, historically, that's been about what has been collected.
You know, on our financials, I think that it's more like 98%.
It has been 98 in the past.
And this is just based on the current tax levy. So if you look at our financials, it'll include the delinquent tax collections as well. So it might skew it a little bit. But this 94.5% is based on the current tax levy only.
Today's
current.
Yes. Like, for example, for the 2014 year, it doesn't include the delinquent tax collections.
Thank
That's
you.
Revenue in addition to.
Thank you.
Slide 6 shows the budget by the object class group. And this includes everything that was approved by the board at the previous budget hearings. The amended 2015 budget was at $62 million, but our proposed for 2016 be at 58,974,667. The debt service is at 7,148,186. Slide 7 is showing the campuses, and the campus allocations were only decreased by the amount of the per capita based on the new spread. And so you'll see that Reyes Elementary is the largest increase. justify their budgets from the ground up. So you'll see that there is a decrease of $2,465,000 in total. There are also some reallocations where things were moved between budget items, budget lines.
I just had a question on, there's a line item here for human resources, an increase of $40,000. Is that just a personnel, or is that just department?
That is, that increase happened after the 2015 as amended that you're looking at.
Mm-hmm.
Also included, it was reduced by the salary savings. So once they went through and did the cleanup, the budget went down. So it makes it look like the budget went up, but really it's not a real increase.
Okay, thank you.
And that's mainly due to turnover. So basically, anything that was not used, we captured it set it aside in a district way.
Slide 9 is showing you by function, which is what we use when we're looking at the administrative cost ratio. And I think it's understood by everyone that with the opening of a new school without additional teachers, that the administrative cost ratio did take a hit, and those numbers will be on the following slides.
On this one in particular, sorry, Madam Chair.
Yes, sir.
On slide 9, instruction went down by 1.1 million.
And I'm going to say again that was due to the cleanup. When we looked at the
Okay,
slide 10 brings us to the recap. This is a summary of the revenues versus the expenditures. And the $1,624,538 is what was agreed upon at the last budget hearing. This includes the revenues, include the amounts we're expecting for the basic allotment, the golden panties, and the NEPA, and then the deficit we're expecting to be covered from fund balance, including the workers' comp that we're closing out and transferring that over to the general fund.
Thank you, Chair.
Yes, sir.
I do have a question. Does this include that basic allotment? Is that for instructional materials? Is that included in this one as well?
No, sir.
So we still have another $250,000 on top of this?
We are expecting that, yes.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay, slide 11 does show the administrative cost ratio that I was referring to earlier, showing that where we expect to end 15 and where we think 16 will take us. And of course, the target is 12.5.
So, yeah, that's good.
The next slide shows the general fund balance that we looked at previously. The committed, the unassigned, the total. We're going to be presenting something to you later in the meeting, asking about commitments for 2016. So the unassigned balance is projected to be $6,053,000 for the end of the 2015 year.
Same slide as this, is that correct?
Because
the one online is all, I think the format is off.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
The public is invited to provide comments.
There aren't any. Went once. Went twice. Any members of the public on the budget, the proposed budget for the 2015-2016. And there is no one, Ms. Sonia.
Item B, consider approval of adoption of 2015-2016 annual budget.
Madam Chair?
Yes, sir.
I'd like to move to adopt the presented by administration 2015-2016 annual budget.
I second it.
A motion made and seconded to approve the 2015-2016 proposed budget as has been presented by administration. And I'd like to open the floor for any comments, discussion. I know that I personally heard something tonight that means a lot to me. And it's that those children who can sing like angels have been invited to go to Carnegie Hall. And I think that we as a board, that's, I can promise you, I was never invited to go to Carnegie Hall. Never will be either. But I think that somehow we need to give them some seed money. And I know that this is a really tight budget, but I feel that that's an investment in our children and in our community as a whole. Ms. Bukarski, is there $1,000? Is there anything to give these children that can cause them to succeed in?
Yes, ma'am.
And I would like to ask the board if that...
Madam Chair?
Yes, sir.
I think at the time that it's coming, which is, then we don't have hard numbers, I think we could at a later date maybe amend the budget or use general funds from the district fund, I guess, to cover that. But I don't think it's something that we need a set in stone at this time. But I do feel that they do need the opportunity.
I feel they need that opportunity and they need the backing of some seed money to get there, honestly. I would like to, and I know that we do have coming forth assigned fund balance coming up in this meeting. Steve, could we discuss
that? You're going to need an action item on an agenda.
Okay.
This is just for approval of the budget.
As presented.
As presented. Okay. But I would like for us to kind of keep our eyes on that. These kids have got to be great to be able to have that kind of opportunity. So is there any other comments on the budget as presented?
I do have a comment.
Yes, sir.
This year we're passing a budget that does include no increases for our employees at the, this is the first time as a board member that I've experienced this, and I don't feel comfortable not giving our employees any raises. I would hope that moving forward, we not only encourage, that our administration encourages everyone to look for funding sources and look for ways to save money, but at this time when we are in a unique situation, we're having a lot of growing pains. This one is, I'm taking really hard, not only because of the committee that I chair, but the staff. The staff really... They work really hard, and I feel very uncomfortable doing it, but it's sometimes we've had a lot of adjustments in the past 5 years, and I'm hoping that we don't end up hurting them in the long run because of the healthcare costs that come down the line. So more so just a comment that this was a very hard item, and we did hold everything up and see what came down. There was no sacred cow, so to speak. Nothing was held back. There are some things that we may have to consider down the line. I don't want our employees to suffer, so with that in mind.
And Mr. Medina, in reference to that also, I think the board did give a really strong back to our employees that we gave them the benefit of the health care. That, correct. You know, that was the best we could do.
Yes.
Yeah. We gave them the ability to keep their quality health care funded by the school district, and I think that's really significant, and I hope it is conveyed to the employees of the district that it's not a raise, but it is an extreme benefit. And I think on top of it being a benefit as far as monetarily, that it's also a benefit that we have probably in Ms. Gonzalez, I think I can look at you and say this, and Ms. Quintana from other schools.